It's election day eve, primary day eve. Tomorrow you get to vote if you have not already. Lots of people have already. The numbers seem to be way up in terms of early voting and mail-in voting. Joining us now, we've got David Stafford. He is the Escambia County Supervisor of Elections and one of the most well-respected members of the political class. Somehow, you know, he's an elected official that everybody seems to like and respect. So well done for that, David. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy Election Day Eve.
That's exactly. So before we do any of the my stuff that I find interesting, I want to ask you, is there anything that you particularly want to tell people, messages you want to get out here before the primary tomorrow?
Sure. I think the most important thing is if you're planning to vote tomorrow, first of all, have a plan. And I'm not saying you have to put out a Gantt chart or something like that, but just simply the most basic thing is know where to go. And it's particularly important this election year because, as you well know, and you followed it, in 2020 we had the decennial census, and then what follows from a election perspective is redistricting, and it's particularly impactful in Escambia County because we have so many single member districts. And without harkening back to your teaching days and talking about the implications of having single member districts, what that means, though, is that several people's, a good number of Escambia County voters moved to districts and as a result moved precincts and as a result moved polling places. So, for instance, if you in 2020 and for the 10 years there had gone to a particular polling place, you, because of redistricting, you had a change, and particularly may have gotten into a new precinct, then you likely will have a different polling place. You see, you have that group, people that have just sort of changed and gone into a different precinct. Then you have just regular polling places that change. For instance, we had a couple on the west side that we gradually, people have probably noticed, try to get out of schools for, I think, obvious reasons. It's just polling places and schools tend to be incompatible when they're there at the same time. We've had polling places that have changed. So, a couple of ways. Number one, if you haven't voted yet, you should have gotten a sample ballot in the mail. Anybody who had not requested a vote by mail ballot was mailed a sample ballot. If you didn't get it or you can't find it, you can simply go on our website. There's two things there. One is where do I vote? Put in some basic information. It'll tell you your polling place. You can also grab your sample ballot there.
People don't know this, you can take that sample ballot, you can take information literature in with you when you vote. You can't take a person in with you, but you can take that in with you, right?
Well, you can actually take a person in Florida law allows assistance in voting. Now, you have to fill out some paperwork once you get in there, and there's some restrictions, of course, on that. But you are allowed to have the assistance of someone of your choosing or two poll workers of differing political parties if you don't have anybody with you.
Good note. Thank you for the correction.
But absolutely, we love, that's as I tell my poll workers, you know, that's the site that you want to see, and that's a person walking up with a sample ballot because that means that they've done their homework and they're going to spend very little time in the voting booth because they've already made up their minds.
And that's always good. Don't be sitting there reading the reading the opportunities while you're actually in the booth.
Particularly we get into the general election when we're going to have, I think it's up to 9 amendments on the ballot, 3 constitutional amendments, a local countywide referendum, and then 5 if you're in the city of Pensacola,
right.
5 potential questions.
Oh, the city's going to be a long ballot in the fall election.
Yeah, we'll worry about that in November.
Hey, one thing I wanted to add, I just want to make sure that people are aware. We've said it many times, but you never know what people don't hear. One of the more interesting elections this cycle is you have the District 2 Escambia County Commission. Interesting, first of all, because people who might not have been in District 2 the last time around, in fact, might have voted in a different district, District 1 last time around, are going to get to vote in, or sorry, yeah, I think I had that right. Anyway, but people who might not have gotten to vote before are going to get to vote, and people who did get to vote before might not get to vote. But the most important thing is it's an open primary, and that means that anybody who's in District 2 gets to vote in this election, and that's it. Plurality wins. There's no runoff, right?
That is correct. So it gets a little complicated Florida has partisan primaries, and the basics of that are if you want to be a member of Congress or a member of the legislature or even sheriff or tax collector here locally, those are partisan contests, which means when you go to qualify for that office, you say, I'm a Republican, I'm a Democrat, I'm no party affiliation, I'm a third party voter. And then if there's more than one Republican or more than one Democrat who wants that seat, then there's a primary, and then it's a winner-take-all primary. Florida used to have primary runoffs, but they did away with those years ago. All right, so you have that. And then you have nonpartisan contests, school board, municipal contests, and judges, which means all registered voters get to vote in those contests no matter what.
And city of Pensacola elections too, right? Nonpartisan.
Absolutely. Mayor of Pensacola and city council. Mm-hmm. So if you're registered to vote in the city of Pensacola, you will have the mayor's office on your ballot regardless of party affiliation. And then there's a third sort of unique circumstance, and that's called a universal primary contest. And that's, even though it's a partisan primary, because at the end of qualifying there's only members of one political party who qualified for that office, then the primary, because literally the contest will be decided in the primary is open to all voters. And as you noted, District 2 County Commission falls into that category. So of the candidates that are on the ballot, whoever gets the most votes in the primary, whether we have 25% turnout or 45% turnout, which I don't think we're going to have, whoever gets one more vote than the next individual is the winner. And that's actually happened. It's fairly unique, but we've had that happen several times in that District 2 contest.
And District 1 last time around was that way as well. That's the election that Commissioner
Bogosh
won. Yeah.
The other race that comes to mind immediately is the we have a school board race and a which is a single member district, and then the county judge race, which literally also will be decided in the primary because there's only it's a head to head contest with in the primary, and whoever gets the most votes wins.
Right. So school board, for example, District 2, that's got three contestants, and that'll be solved. Even no matter what happens, that'll be all set.
Potentially. Now. Again, now we're getting down way into the weeds, Andrew. For those nonpartisan contests, not the universal primary contest, but the nonpartisan contest, for those, the winner does have to get 50%. So whether that happens in the primary or if that has to advance to the general election, so that's a little bit different.
And that's by the way, that's an important note for a city of Pensacola, is that even though,
correct,
like you said, you're voting on the mayor, and there are also some council district seats that have more than three or have more than two. But the mayor,
correct,
if you get a 51%, we're done. If you don't get a 50% plus one, then we have a runoff for the top two vote getters in the fall. Last thing, I just wanted to give you a chance to say this to folks, because I know you always get this question. I know people always have this question, which is, I asked for a mail-in ballot, but I haven't sent it back. What do you want me to do?
Great question. Number one, you still are able to vote in this election, of course. Now, most important thing, do not go put that ballot in the mailbox. The ballot has to be received in our hands by 7 p.m. on Tuesday. So clearly, if you were to go and put your ballot in the mailbox today, as good as the local postal officials are, they're not that good. So high likelihood, almost certain, that it would not get to us, and therefore we would have no choice but to reject that ballot, because it would land in our office after 7 p.m. So what are your options? Number one would be to physically take that ballot and return it to our office down on Palafox and Intendencia in downtown Pensacola. The second option would be to go to your polling place to vote on election day. And what you would do is, even though it's not a requirement, we ask that you bring that ballot package back. And because we have real-time information on each voter, so if Andrew had requested a vote by mail ballot but hadn't received it, literally the time that you check in at your polling place, we will be able to know whether your absentee ballot, your vote by mail ballot, has been received in our office. And if it has not, then they're going to issue a regular election day ballot and you can vote that. And then if you try to get sneaky and try to break the law and return that vote by mail ballot after you leave your polling place, number one, you will it will not be counted because your voter history is already marked. The minute you check in at your polling place, your voter history is marked.
There you go.
And then the second thing that would happen is we would then contact our friends over in law enforcement and say this individual potentially was trying to break the law.
Hey, I only have like 20 seconds, but I did want to ask you, the governor recently announced that people have been arrested downstate for, you know, felons trying to vote. Did we have anything like that in Escambia County, as far as you know?
All of the supervisors around the state received a communication from the state. So I suspect you're going to be seeing more of this all across the state. Now, what their timeline is and where they are in their investigations is not necessarily clear. But I don't think you've seen the end of that.
Okay, so that's a maybe because it just depends on what their office and the investigation reveals. Okay.
Correct. Well, like I said, all supervisors received a communication.
All right, well, yep. That is useful to know. David Stafford, in advance, thank you for, again, running our elections and doing such a good job of it. And vote tomorrow. David Stafford, Supervisor of Elections for Escambia County, thanks for the time, sir.
Thank you.